Okay, now the simplest way I could figure out for us to look at this scripture was to do it this way. Now I'm going to read each three sections of text here. And as I read each section of text, I'm going to first give you what we're going to call the historical fulfillment of this text. And then I'll read the text. And then I'm going to tell you the spiritual fulfillment of this text. And I'm going to read that portion of text again. And then we'll move to the next section of text. And we'll just go through it like that and read our scripture this morning that way. And then we'll see what we can learn from it. All right, verses 16 and 17 in Isaiah 48, verses 16 and 17. Now, historically, Isaiah the prophet was sent of God to declare God's word to Israel. That's what we have here. All right, so you hear Isaiah here speaking. Verse 16, "Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I, and now the Lord God and His Spirit hath sent me." Now here's His message. "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." All right, now spiritually, see here in Isaiah a type of Christ. See Christ here in Isaiah. As we read these verses again, this time I want you to hear Christ speaking to Jerusalem. When He walked this earth, He's speaking to Israel when He walked this earth. And hear Him speaking to us right now, right here, right now. Verse 16, hear Christ now. "Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and His Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." Okay, now verses 18 and 19. Let me give you the historical. Historically, at this time, Israel was in bondage in Babylon. This is talking about when they would be in bondage in Babylon. God turned them over to that bondage because they wouldn't heed His commands. They wouldn't listen to Him. They wouldn't do as God said. And He tells them right here what they forfeited by not simply believing God and trusting Him. Verse 18, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments! Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me." Now spiritually, in the day that Christ walked this earth, Israel was in spiritual bondage, more so than they were in bondage to Rome. And all they had to do was to heed the Lord's command to believe on the Lord. That's all they had to do. Believe on the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus who the Father had sent. But they wouldn't. Now turn over to, hold your place there, turn to Matthew 23. I think it's important for us to see this scripture. Matthew 23. You remember this? Remember when the Lord stood there at the end of His earthly ministry before He was going to the cross? And He said this. Matthew 23 verse 37. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." All right, now go back there to verse 18. Now hear Christ speaking. Look at verse 18. "Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments! Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me." You see in the spiritual fulfillment of this? All right, now verse 20. Now historically, when Cyrus the Redeemer was sent by God to Israel, He delivered Israel from Babylonian captivity. Cyrus delivered them out. And he sent messengers to give a decree throughout the ends of the earth, everywhere that Israel was in bondage. He sent his messengers to give a decree and declare, Israel's been redeemed. You can come out of Babylon now. You can come out of Babylon. All right, read verse 20. This was the message they were sent to declare. Go ye forth of Babylon. Flee ye from the Chaldeans. With a voice of singing declare ye. Tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. All right, now spiritually. After Christ accomplished his work of redemption at Calvary, he sent forth his apostles to call out his sheep out of Jerusalem. And at that time, Jerusalem had become Babylon. They had become spiritual Babylon. That's what they had become. And he called them to come out from there, come out of there. And Christ sent them not just to the Jews, but he sent his apostles to the Gentiles. He opened up and sent Paul to preach to the Gentiles, to the ends of the earth, he sent them. And he said, sing of this good news of what Christ has accomplished, the redemption of his spiritual Jacob, his Israel. Now read verse 20 again, and you hear God's charge to his gospel preachers and his calls for his elect to come out of spiritual Babylon. Verse 20, go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans. With a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. Do you follow me? You with me now? You see that? Okay, now verse 21, historically, when Cyrus delivered the remnant out of Babylon, when he delivered them, the Lord provided the king's highway. And they got on that king's highway, and it led all the way back to Jerusalem. And along the way, the Lord made all the provisions. He provided everything necessary so that that remnant that came out of Babylon went back to Jerusalem safe, just like the Lord said they would. Just like he said they would. Now read verse 21. That's what it tells us. And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. Now spiritually, after Christ ascended to the Father, and he sent forth those preachers to preach that good news, he made all provisions for his people. When he calls them out, he calls us out into Christ the King, our highway. And he makes all provision for us along the way. And all of God's elect are being called out into this highway, into Christ. And we're traveling. And we'll all be safely returned to heavenly Jerusalem. He says, verse 21, and they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. You see, he made all provision for them then. He's making all provision for his people now. And then lastly, verse 22, historically and spiritually, this means the same exact thing. There was a bunch in Babylon at that time, historically. They decided they just wouldn't leave. They decided they wouldn't believe God. They decided they'd just serve the gods right where they were. And they died. They perished. And in Jerusalem in that day, they wouldn't come out. They didn't hear the Lord's word, and they perished. And there's many in our day who hear this call going forth and hear, trust the Lord. He's provided all and shall provide all. And they say, I'm not going to believe him. And they'll perish in unbelief too. And that's what verse 22 says. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Okay, now let's see a few things from each portion of this passage. The first thing we see back in that first portion is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is God the Savior. That's so important. The Lord Jesus Christ is God the Savior. His command is for you to draw near and hear His word. Look at verse 16. Come ye near unto me and hear ye this. The gospel's going out to everybody. The gospel call goes out. And as this general call goes out, he says, come near and hear ye this. Now, if anybody will not come near to him and will not hear him, the fault does not lie in God. The fault lies in us. We won't hear him. We won't draw near. We won't give our ear. And Christ has spoken openly for all to hear. Look at verse 16. I've not spoken in secret from the beginning. from the time that it was, there am I, and now the Lord God in His Spirit has sent me. Christ has spoken openly from the beginning. You realize that Christ has been speaking from the beginning? You say, from what beginning? From the time that it was. That's what He said. From the time that it was, there am I. Christ is speaking in this text right here. He was speaking through Isaiah. He's the one who sent Isaiah to preach this word. He's speaking right here. Christ existed before His incarnation, before He came in human flesh. He existed as the Word, as the Son of God, with God, ever before Him, with Him. Everything that was made by Him. Everything that was created by Him. Everything that was made for Him. The time that it was, that's when He's been from that time. But now, in the end of the world, the Lord God and His Spirit has sent Him, and He's come and spoken plainly in this earth. Look at verse 16 again. Now the Lord God and His Spirit has sent me. Look at Hebrews 1:1. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at sundry times and in different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, these are the last days, we've been in them since Christ came, these are the last days, in these last days He's spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. You see, He's saying He's from the beginning, this one. Now He's come. He's been sent of the Lord. The Lord stood one day, and some folks were rejecting Him. They wouldn't believe Him. Just like folks today, in their hearts, don't say, I don't believe Him. And He said this. They said, we believe God, but we don't believe your God. And He said, if God were your Father, you'd love me. He said, because I proceeded forth and I came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. He sent me. And He said, when He spoke, He said, I taught openly into the world. I taught in your synagogues. I taught in the temple. Wherever the Jews resort, I taught. He said, and in secret have I hid nothing from you. I've said everything plainly. And this is His message. Look back at our text now. This is His message. Verse 17. His message is, He's God. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D means, thus saith Jehovah God. That's who He is. He's Jehovah Jesus. That's who He is. I'm a Jehovah's Witness. That's who I am. I'm here to tell you about Jehovah. And that's who He is. He's the Lord God, our Savior. He's the Redeemer of a particular people. The Redeemer of a particular people. Verse 17, He says, Thy Redeemer. You see that word, Thy? Now, when He came and spoke this to Jerusalem, He could say, I'm Thy Redeemer, because He is the one who brought them out of Egyptian bondage, that physical bondage, and brought them out of that. And He could say, I'm Thy Redeemer to all of them. I did that for you. But He's speaking to His people particularly, and He's Thy Redeemer. He's somebody's Redeemer particularly. A people given to Him of the Father. And when it says He's the Redeemer, that means He got it done. It means He did it. He redeemed His people. He purchased them with His own blood, and they are His purchased possession. And nobody's going to take them from Him. Look at verse 17 again. He says, I am the Holy One of Israel. Christ came out of Israel, just like God said He would. He came out of Israel, so He's of Israel in that sense. And He came to save the Israel of God, the Holy One of Israel. He came to save God's elect people who make up His true Israel, who are Jew and Gentile. His elect, Jew and Gentile, scattered throughout the world. And He's the Holy One who knew no sin, so He's the only fit one to redeem His people from their sins. And He's the Holy One who makes His children holy. He, by creating us anew in holiness and by robing us in His righteousness and His holiness, He makes the King's daughter beautiful within and without. Within and without. And this is what He says then here again in verse 17. He says, I'm the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. The Lord only teaches us what's profitable. He doesn't teach us anything that's unprofitable. All this book teaches us is what's profitable. What's profitable? If you learn the gospel of grace, you know why you're going to learn it? It's going to be because He taught you through the gospel. He taught you the doctrine of grace that's profitable for the salvation of your souls. That's how we're going to know it. He taught us. And He only teaches that which is profitable. He only leads in the way that you should go. He is the way, and He leads us in the way of faith. He leads us in the way of grace. And this is the way that each of His elect shall go. I said to you, this is a general call. But this call is effectual when He teaches us in the heart. And when He teaches us in the heart, we'll hear Him. And we'll obey Him. And we'll follow Him. This word is specifically to you who He's called by His grace. Now, have you heard Him? Can you draw near to Him? Can you hear Him? You delight to hear His voice? Praise Him if you can. Praise Him for that. Because He gave it. All right, let's look at this second section here and see what we learn. God our Savior is the tender, loving Savior. Christ our Savior, He's the tender, loving Savior. Now look here, and some folks regard God as hard. Some folks regard God as refusing to hear them, as He saved just the elect, so I don't have a chance. I'm just out here. But He's not a hard God. Look at what He said here in verse 18. He said, "Oh, that thou hadest hearkened to my commandments. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments. Oh, that you had heeded this call that's going forward." His commandments are not grievous. John tells us this. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. That's His commandment. Believe on Him. And having believed on Christ Jesus, because of His obedience, the believers fulfilled the whole law of God. Honored it, magnified it in Christ, just as if we did it ourselves. He did it. God regards it as His elect did it. And therein we've established the whole law of God through faith in Him. And then this heart of love, we love one another. That's not a grievous heart command. I guarantee you, if you think it's hard to love, when you meet somebody that takes your heart and you're in love with them, you want to be on the phone with them all the time, you want to talk to them all the time, you want to be with them all the time, you want to hear about them all the time, you want to be around them all the time, and there's nothing grievous about that. The only thing grievous is if somebody tries to keep you from them. That's what's grievous. Nothing grievous about this. His doctrine of grace is freely given. It's grace to the undeserving. It's grace to sinners who cannot save themselves. Our Lord said of those in Jerusalem, "I would have gathered you, but ye would not." That's the answer. I would have gathered you. It's not that God's not willing. Ye would not, He said. Now listen, the will that's in men by nature, this is why we preach the sovereign, irresistible grace of God who makes His child willing in the day of His power, because it's necessary for salvation. Because here's the nature that's in a man. It's not that God's not willing, it's that the nature we have by birth, we are not willing. We are not willing. He said, we have a will. That is true. We have a will. But it's a will not to believe Him. It's a will not to believe God. Not to believe God is true. A will to try to come up with something else that can explain how this heaven and this earth came into existence. Something to come up with an excuse to put it out of our minds that we're going to have to face God who deals with righteousness and judgment with people. We will not. We're not willing. Why is it? You sitting here now that say, "Well, I've got a will. I can come to Him if I want to." Well, then why haven't you? Why haven't you? You're not willing to. And if you'll be honest with yourself, the truth of the matter is you can't make yourself willing to come to Him. You know what that ought to at least make us do? Why do you tell me that? It ought to at least make you hit your face in mercy and say, "Lord, I can't do anything. I'm undone. I'm If you ever get it in the heart, if He ever makes it known in the heart, that's what it'll cause us to do. It'll cause us to hit our face and say, Lord, I need mercy. I need mercy. The enmity and the disgust and the rejection and the bitterness and the unrest and the hardness of heart, that's not of God. That's of sinners. But He doesn't take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. It's not like God's taking pleasure to destroy wicked folks. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God. He can swear by no greater. He says, as I live, saith the Lord God. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? It never says in Scripture He delights in vengeance. Never says that. Never says He delights to pour out wrath. It never says that. You know what it says? It calls judgment His strange work. You know what it says, though? He delights to show mercy. He delights to show mercy. That's what the Scripture says about it. While He walked this earth, every needy sinner that came to Him needing mercy on the grounds of mercy, they found mercy from Him. Everybody that came to Him needing to be healed, He healed them. This is the Lord God. The Redeemer is He who bent down and washed His disciples' feet. You want to call this a hard tyrant? For us who believe Him by His grace, you know what He's telling us here? We're learning here too that when He corrects us for our sins, He doesn't take any pleasure in that. Do you take pleasure in correcting your children? I've never enjoyed that at all. But He requires His children to be obedient to Him. He's going to require us to trust Christ and not turn away from Him. Don't turn back to your flesh and your works and your will and your law keeping and your obedience and look to yourself. And don't turn to this world. Don't turn to this world and look to this world and go off seeking this world. He's going to correct His child from that. And it's going to be painful when He does. But He requires us to obey Him, and He's going to see to it we do, that we trust Him. And this obedience is not grievous. It's believing Him. Believing Him. Look, He delights to show peace and righteousness. Look at verse 18. He said, if you had obeyed me, then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. You know why you got unrest? Anybody here's got unrest and uneasy and unsure and aggravated and you know what it is? Not believing Him. It's not trusting Him. He said, if you believe me, your peace would have been as a river and your righteousness as waves of the sea. I love a river. I just love a river. My favorite place to go when I was a teenager was to the river. I'd go to the river before I ever even had a driver's license. My dad would let me take the boat and drive down to the river. And I'd go down there and I'd love to go at night and go out at night and just turn off the motor and just sit and float, lay down the boat, just look up at the stars and float in the river. We had a fish called a drum, and at night under the water, you could hear them drumming. You could hear them making this haunting sound, sort of, and they would be drumming. You could hear them under the water. And I just love floating at night on that river and listening to the drum underneath me. Peace like a river. Peace like a river. Therefore being justified, God having done all the work in His Son, by faith, by believing Him, by trusting what He's done for us, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Reconciliation that's been wrought for His people by Christ, when as yet we were enemies to God. Reconciliation wrought. Mercy and truth have kissed each other. He said here, your peace would have been as a river and your righteousness as the waves of the sea. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth, justice, righteousness, the pouring out of justice upon His Son in place of His people, together with peace and mercy and atonement made by Him. They've met together in perfect harmony with each other by what Christ did. And He said in Isaiah 32:17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. That work He did, it's going to result in peace. The effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. Peace like a river. The peace of God which passes all understanding. that Holy Spirit washed us inwardly and renewed us in regeneration. And now the believer has peace with our Lord Jesus Christ, made by the blood of His cross, which has sealed the believer's acceptance forever with the Father. Oh, that's peace. That's peace. Perfect peace is peace that can never be changed between my satisfied God and this child that He saved by His grace. That's peace. In the midst of all this world's tribulation, He says, "My peace I give to you." Peace like a river, like a... You ever seen the Mississippi River's gotten low sometimes, but it's never dried up. Peace like a river that cannot be dried up. This is peace that can't be dried up. Peace like a river for its steadiness. It's always steadily flowing. Always steadily flowing, the river is. Peace like a river for its steadiness. I'd get hot. The work be tiresome, you know, and you'd get hot. And you'd be down by the river or by the creek somewhere. We'd just strip off and jump in it. Jump in. And just, man, you just be refreshed. You just come out of there ready to go. Just alive again. Peace that's refreshing like a river. Peace. In the darkness, He's my light. In the deep, His everlasting arms are underneath. In the storm, His voice says, "Peace be still." In sickness, He's my health. Whatever the providence, my times are in His hand. Peace. And righteousness as the waves of the sea. Now, I know you can enter into this because we live so close to the ocean. Righteousness as the waves of the sea. Where did the water in the sea come from? God gave it. God gave it. God made it. God created it. You know what He says about this righteousness? "Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." That's where it came from. Like the waves of the sea. It came from Him. How long have the waves of the sea been coming? You think about that. Y'all spent yesterday down the shore. Saw those waves coming in. Think about it. Every time you ever been, wave after wave just been steadily coming at you. You stay there all day, wave after wave just keeps on coming. Well, before we was ever born, those waves were just doing that same thing. After we're gone, they'll still be doing that same thing. Waves of the sea. His righteousness is called everlasting righteousness. It never ends. It has no beginning. It has no end. It just keeps on wave upon wave upon wave. It's everlasting righteousness. Overwhelming power of those waves. Think about that. That overwhelming power of those waves. They just push you anywhere they want to go. Nothing more powerful than the Lord our righteousness. None are powerful enough to lay anything to the charge of God's elect, because Christ had put away our sin. And we have His righteousness. That's too powerful for anybody to charge us with anything. I like this right here. Spurgeon said this: "I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity, but Christ is that holy thing which is born of the Virgin, and the holiness of Christ's birth takes away the unholiness of my nativity." I committed sins in my childhood, sins against my parents. But Jesus Christ was a child full of the Spirit from His mother's womb. Christ's childish perfection is imputed to me and hides my childish sins. Isn't that a good thought? I've had heart sins. Christ had heart virtues. I've had sins in worship. Christ purged the temple and served the Father in perfection, in spirit, and in truth. I have sins of a servant. Christ has the virtues of a servant. His obedience has been made my obedience, brethren. That's what we're talking about by righteousness. His obedience has been made the believer's obedience. So that what He did, I did it. How He is, that's how I am. Holy, spotless, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, always doing that which pleased the Father, always pleasing Him. That's who we are because of Him. That's how God... Just as if you never sinned. No. No. I never have sinned. Ask God. He says, "I don't remember your sins anymore." What sins? Never sinned. Righteousness. Made righteous with God. And our name, look, and our Savior's made us fruitful. He said, verse 19, thy seed also shall be as the sand, and thy offspring of thy bowels like the gravel. You know who my family is? The whole family in heaven and in earth that goes by His name. That's my family. I got a big house. It's called the household of God. Christ is the head of that house. And then He's made us to where our name won't be cut off. Verse 19, He said, His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. If you don't believe Christ, your name's going to be cut off. It doesn't matter what a name you can build for yourself in this earth, religious or irreligious, in the world or in religion, when you meet God outside of Christ, that name's going to be cut off forever. But if you come to God in Christ, with Christ's name, saying, I'm His bride, and I gladly wear His name. I've taken His name because we're married, and I gladly take His name. That name won't ever be cut off, ever. Let's look at this third thing, and I'll hurry here. Now, the Lord commands us to go forth and declare what He's done for us. That's the third thing. Our salvation from spiritual Babylon is by the effectual call of His grace. Verse 20, He said, go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans. Leave that spiritual Babylon. Leave that false religion. Leave works religion. Leave free will religion. Leave your idolatry, your vain imagination. Leave it all. I heard a voice in heaven, John said, saying, come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. And then we declare that our full, complete redemption has been accomplished by Christ our Redeemer alone. Verse 20, He says, now go forth with a voice of singing, declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed His servant Jacob. That's our gospel. The Lord has done it. He has done it. And then He says, tell them that what you've lacked. Tell them what you've been without. Believer, have you lacked anything yet? Have you? Look at verse 21. They thirsted not when He led them through the deserts. Have you thirsted? When they left out of Babylon historically and they went back to Jerusalem, God provided for them the whole way so they didn't thirst. This world is a desert, but He leads His dear children along. And He won't let us to thirst. He said, whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I give him will be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And then our Redeemer continually gives us this water of life from Christ our rock. Look at verse 21. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. Christ is that rock. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. He causes it. He clave the rock. He willingly gave His back to the smiters. He willingly gave His body to bear our sins. He willingly gave His blood to justify us. And the waters gushed out, life and pardon and righteousness and peace with our God. He's done this, brethren, so that there is nothing that is lacking with us as we go through this journey. And He says, now if God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how with Him will He not freely give us all things? If somebody came and they took your son, they came to your house and they took your only begotten son as payment for what you owed to them. And they came back later and they said to you, now we're going to have to confiscate your dishes and your silverware. Would you say, no? You'd say, take it. You already took my son. You already took my son. What's my plate? What's some earthen vessel? He took my son. Well, God gave His son. And He says, I gave my son. Now, what is it for me to provide you dishes and food on those dishes and clothes on your back? But that's nothing. Nothing. But here's the sad case. This is a sad word to those who will not. Verse 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Now, let history teach us. Those who remained in Babylon perished in Babylon. They got in there in Babylon and they said, it looks so good, this is so nice, we just believe we'll stay right here. The decree came and said, Cyrus came and he said, you're free to go back to Israel now. Go, leave Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans. And they said, they looked at one another and they said, we got good food. We got good music here. We drive in a nice chariot. We got nice horses and donkeys, camels. We got nice clothes. Everything's pretty good here. We believe we'll just stay here. Their gods do no different from the gods we were serving in Jerusalem. And they stayed right there. He came in person and he said this gospel to them in person. And he said, I would gather you as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings and cares for them so carefully. He said, but you would not. They heard him and they said, don't you see? Look at the beauty of this temple we've built. Look at the beauty of all these works we've done. Look at the position we've got. We're priests. We got the Sanhedrin. We got the everything. But you're in bondage. This bondage you're into Rome's nothing. They said if you would have delivered us out of that earthly bondage, we would have taken it. And we could have stayed right here and done what we're doing. But now you say you're God, and you say you delivered us spiritually. We don't want any part of that. And he said, the bondage you're in is far worse than Rome. It's spiritual bondage. And he destroyed, 70 AD, he rained down fire on it and destroyed the whole lot. Now will you today stand here and hear this word of gospel coming forth and say, well, you know, I like this world's music. I like their dress. I like their food. I like all their gods. How can you say there's one God? Look at all the gods they got. Would you rather serve a bunch of gods and never know whose God is God than to just serve the true and living God? Spiritual bondage. This is the end of it. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Amen.